Now let's talk movies with Mike Mayo. Mike, good morning.
I will not be placing any outgoing calls from here, I think.
Oh, good gosh.
Don't order room service either, Mike, because they're gonna spit in your food if they hear what Brian is saying about them this morning.
Well, unfortunately, the signal's not quite that strong, so we'll be okay. But, oh, my gosh, just breathtaking, the stupidity. Nonetheless, let us move on from that. And we've got some movies coming out today. I have to say, I'm worried for the quality of them because of a couple of them that I haven't heard of that I think I should have, but maybe they're direct to DVD and pay-per-view. But first, Mike, Crazy Rich Asians, this is fair to say, one of the big surprise hits of the year. Made over $150 million domestically, and this is the all-Asian, Asian-American cast. A very funny movie. And so the producers thought, aha, well, we're going to release the movie in China. It'll do really well there because, of course, with the Asian cast, and no, I think it ended up short of about $1.5 million for its opening weekend. A huge, huge bust there. And I guess it's the nature of the story that it's not really a Chinese story. And also, apparently, if you release your movie in China, I'd never realized this, you don't get to decide when it's released. The Chinese government does. And apparently, the Chinese government did not give them exactly a propitious weekend.
Yeah, and let me preface everything I say here. By noting that I know very little about how the Chinese marketplace works, but I know enough about movies to know that it's different in every country. Governments are often much more involved than they are here, particularly in China. They really control things very, very carefully. You know, your movie has to be approved at all kinds of different levels before it can be released, and then they decide which theaters it will go into and how it will be promoted and everything else. So that has an awful lot more to do with it there than here. But let's face it, that movie was made for an international audience, but not necessarily for a Chinese audience. And it doesn't criticize Chinese society. It presents the contrast between Chinese American values and traditional Chinese values. That's the source of much of the conflict in the movie. And I think if Chinese viewers probably have a pretty good understanding of that already, or think they do, and it just must not be something that appeals to them, unlike something like Aquaman, which is apparently doing great guns over there. And by the way, just I'm going to be on record as saying I'm still to be persuaded on Aquaman. This whole thing seems pretty silly to me, and I'm going to have a whole lot of trouble getting over that before I can appreciate it. But more about that soon. It's just, I guess we shouldn't be surprised that Crazy Rich Asians didn't do as well there. It picked up some nice nominations in my outfit, the Broadcast Film Critics Award for Best Comedy and some other things. So I think, I can't say I'm surprised, but I don't really know that it means anything that it hasn't been that well received in China.
They said the other problem it had is that it's had enough of a lag between its international release and going to China that an awful lot of the people who had wanted to see it would already have seen a pirated copy, say on a DVD, or that they'd have downloaded their own copy or something like that.
And again, I know that used to be a huge problem there. I remember years and years ago interviewing John Woo, and he said that how could his movies do well in theaters when they're being sold on the street the same day they open in the theaters? And of course, this was way back pre-internet days, and so I think it's not as big a problem in some ways as it was then. But it's still out there, and you're right. That probably had an awful lot to do with it. The people, the target audience that really wanted to see that movie, they've had a lot of chances to.
And you mentioned Aquaman, and it made, I think it's something around $95 million, a huge opening for that market, and a record for both Warner Brothers and for DC movies. So it's not as though Chinese audiences don't like American movies, but they may be like audiences a lot elsewhere in the world, that, comedy doesn't cross societies as easily as explosions and action and lots of special effects do, and I wonder if that plays into the whole thing as well.
I'm sure it does, and particularly with Crazy Rich Asians, it's a romantic comedy where, again, I think, you know, the things that the expectations that a Chinese audience brings to that are probably much different than the expectations that either an American or a European audience or even a South American audience would bring to that genre.
Yeah, and Aquaman, we will see. It looks much more interesting than the old comic book character, but, you know, having seen their attempt at the Justice League, I don't know how much hope we should have for Aquaman, I have to admit.
And the woman character with the very red hair, I don't get this. But then there's so much about comic book movies that I don't get. It's probably wrong to single one thing out.
Yeah, I know they only got halfway through the trailer before they had their first redhead joke. So I'm going to guess that there's more than one of those in the movie itself. And with any luck, they'll be funnier than that one was. So let's talk about what we've got coming out on DVD and pay-per-view today. And first up is Denzel Washington taking over the old Edward Woodward role, the show that your parents watched back in the 80s and 90s, The Equalizer. And we have a clip.
This is the point where usually I'd give you a chance to do the right thing, but not tonight. Tonight I'm going to need your cameras, cell phones, anything you might have used to record what you did to her.
You knocked on the wrong door tonight, Pops.
Ouch.
Yep. Now, for those of you who might not remember The Equalizer, it was a terrific show. I loved it, and I love these movies, too. The main character, Robert McCall, played there by Denzel Washington and earlier on TV by Edward Woodward, is a retired spy, and he's got all kinds of great martial arts skills, but now he uses them to help everyday people in everyday situations. He generally lives in an inexpensive apartment somewhere in a city and runs into people there and uses his training to right the wrongs that have been done to them. In that case, in this iteration, he is a Lyft driver, and he has just taken a young woman to the hospital, realized that she's been attacked by the people who put her in the car, so he's gone back to see them. They're these rich, snotty playboy types, and he has just taken out, at the end of that clip, he'd taken out two of them. I think there were two more to be handled before it was over. And he always does it with that same kind of very calm delivery. And Denzel Washington just pulls this off beautifully. These movies are directed by Antoine Fuqua, the guy that he first won an Oscar for in Training Day several years back. And this one, the plot, you know, is relatively unimportant. The action scenes are well done. Acting is first rate all the way through. I was a bit disappointed in the end of it. It has a big ending during a storm where it kind of turns into a first-person shooter video game thing where these highly trained mercenary types are trying to hunt him down and he's hunting them at the same time. But we've seen that kind of thing done an awful lot before. As long as the focus stays on him, and then the people that he's really close to, then I think the movie's a lot more successful. Once it goes into kind of standard shoot 'em up action mode, well, we see that an awful lot these days. Overall, though, I recommend it to fans of Denzel Washington and certainly to fans of the character. It did what I wanted it to do, and I hope he continues to make these movies because I like that character.
Yeah, it's a good character. And by the way, if you like the original with Edward Woodward, let me suggest, if you haven't seen the movie, watch Breaker Morant.
Oh,
best performance of his career. It's just one of the 10 or 15 best movies I think I've ever seen.
I agree with you 100% on that. And if you're not crying at the end of that movie, something is wrong with you.
I'm not going to endorse the last statement necessarily, but it's a heck of an ending. I will say that it can be a gut wrencher, I would say. And yeah, Training Day, man, I haven't seen that for a while, but man, that was really, really good. So next up, I'm just going to read this, Mike, how you described this to me for Peppermint. Soccer mom Jennifer Garner sets out for revenge against drug gang that killed her family. And I have to admit, when I first saw that, I thought Jennifer Aniston. But so I haven't heard of this. Is this good? Oh, we have
no.
Oh, wait, we have a clip.
No,
wait, we have a clip.
We have a clip.
Yes.
Watching someone take everything from you. All you have, all you're ever going to have, just gone. Hurts, doesn't it? Knowing that it's all over, and there is nothing you can do about it. You didn't serve justice, Your Honor. I will.
Ooh, boy.
So, as you can tell there, see, that's the crooked judge who let the drug guys off. It's all pretty silly, really. Here's all you really need to know about this. It was directed by the same guy who does the Taken movies, with right. Liam Neeson. And he's trying to do the same kind of thing here, sort of. Soccer moms are probably a bit too generic, but she's, you know, just this loving mother. Her husband and child are killed by these drug guys. They get off scot-free. She manages to then, you know, kind of turn herself into this killing machine who goes after them. Again, we've seen this kind of thing done a lot before, and it just none of this struck me as being right. I just could not, you know, get that willing suspension of disbelief where I was willing to go where this movie was trying to go, in the same way that I was with The Equalizer. And it's Jennifer Garner, I think, does as good as anybody could in this. It's just this thing is really put together badly, and the action scenes really didn't have a whole lot going for them compared to things like, say, the John Wick movies or the Equalizer movies, even the Jack Reacher movies. It just doesn't really measure up to them.
All right. Well, so yeah, if you want to see the bad guys get what's coming to them, watch The Equalizer 2 instead of Peppermint.
Exactly.
All right. And next up, talk about, I guess it's animated, but still, that willful suspension of disbelief. We've got Smallfoot. And we have a clip here?
Yes.
Okay. You know, you'll laugh because in my world, everyone thinks you're this terrifying monster. That's all. But you don't look terrifying to me. You're adorable.
Mike?
Yeah, okay, that kind of tells you what this is. The main characters here are the snowmen who live up in the top of the Himalayas, and they have been told by generations that there are these other people, small feet, who live below, and they're terrifying beasts, and you can't have anything to do with them. Well, of course, they come in contact with each other. And if you've ever wondered, you know, how LeBron James and Danny DeVito would sound together in a cartoon movie, this is it. This is your movie. The animation none of this really reaches the heights of Pixar Disney animation. The colors are much more muted since it's done in these, you know, kind of mostly snowy areas, and that's as it should be. But it just doesn't have that bright eye candy appeal that something like Ralph Breaks the Internet or The Incredibles 2 had. The songs are okay, nothing great. Again, you know, it will keep kids entertained, but don't expect this to be the one that kids watch over and over again the way they did Frozen.
All right, very good. All right, so yeah, it looks like for this week, go for The Equalizer. That would be the way to go.
That's it. Best thing out there that's new on tape.
All right, Mike, thank you very much. We'll talk again next week.
Take care, guys.